Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 371. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show, one of the authors of Fat Loss Happens on Monday, and just overall, just amazing guy doing great things in the industry in terms of helping people reach their goals, especially when it comes to fat loss and behavior change. That's Josh Hillis. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Good. I'm standing on a box full of rocks.
Okay.
I don't know if like...
What's the story there?
Okay, so this is a little sidebar. We had Anna Hartman, who used to work at Exos, Athletes Performance.
Oh, yeah.
She has left, and now she's like really... Like one of her big things is resting postures. And just she came in and did like a 1 or 1.5 hour, no, it's 2 hour in service at our facility. You can see it on Body Bible Online. But she came and did that. And one of the things that she was talking about was like rock mats and trying to give new and interesting feedback for your feet and how that can lead to improvements. And like Mike Boyle's kind of very, what's the word? Very skeptical when it comes to like new stuff, because, you know, you have to like, we're always looking for things that we can, you know, implement so we can do what we're doing better.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to just like see something and say like, all right, we're going to throw all this stuff out and just do whatever this person just said. So,
right.
He's had like low back pain for like 20, 30 years. He's always like gotten up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, not necessarily because he wants to get up, but just because he can't stay in bed anymore. And, you know, after about a week of messing around with these resting postures and, just standing on rocks, like he got, you know, a piece of wood and a bunch of glue, and he glued a bunch of rocks to a board, and he spent like 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a couple times a day standing on it. And, his back pain has almost gone away. Okay. So, you know, I will probably edit that out, but we had a pause for a second. It was someone at Josh's door, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, we were kind of talking about that whole rock mat thing.
About the rock mats.
Yeah, and it does make sense. Like, we've been doing, like, we've been using lacrosse balls to roll the bottom of our feet, and we've been trying to get into more of a not, like, necessarily completely barefoot, but less, you know, less of a distraction in between your foot and the ground surface, like getting away from really thick shoes and trying to even go, you know, the Vibram route where you're trying to get separation for your toes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like the same kind of idea. It's just, it's like proprioception. It's like trying to give your body a little bit more feedback, a little bit more information to kind of wake up your central nervous system and just say like, oh yeah, sorry, I haven't been like really talking to you in a long time, but like here, I'm going to start talking to you again. So it'd be great if you also started listening too.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've actually seen a lot of stuff on that. One of my friends is a physical therapist, and her husband actually is a physical therapist that's doing some research on, proprioception between the feet and low back pain. Mm-hmm. So, talking to him about that, he was talking about how he'll even just have people take off their shoes and walk, like take off their shoes and socks and walk on the carpet while they're doing their physical therapy. I mean, like just that much is so much different than being like locked in the shoes. Mm-hmm. And then Medicare has done some great research on having the elderly walk around without their shoes reduces falling risk by I forget what the percentage is, but it was significant.
Yeah, and they're put in boots too, because like especially for the elderly that have problems like tying their shoes, they basically give them boots with like the Velcro straps on it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I worked in a physical therapy office for 3 years. So I'm absolutely not a physical therapist, but I got super fascinated at the time when I was doing all this, basically their corrective exercise. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how there's so many things that we do for the elderly that like actually increases their fall risk. Mm-hmm. You know, like besides just locking them in those like huge, like chunky boots where they lose all contact with the ground, mm-hmm. we give them walkers and after they, like after they've had a fall, they usually tend to start looking at their feet as they walk, mm-hmm. which actually like tips your head forward and throws off your vestibular system.
Yep.
Right. Cause it's tipped forward the whole time. And like, we're supposed to use visual cues and we're supposed to, you know, have our inner ear, like from a standing. So anyway, it's amazing. How often we get that wrong.
Well, I mean, I think it is something that it's not laziness either. And I don't want to make it sound like laziness, but like, in, you know, in terms of like the professionals trying to help, They're always so laser focused in on, you know, where the problem is occurring and not really kind of looking around to see if it's that whole, like, you know, if you're having problems with, you know, your hip, you're going to look above and below. You're going to look at, you know, see what's going on at the knee. You're also going to be looking at the lumbar spine and kind of see if there's something going on there that is, again, you know, causing your hip to have some issues. And maybe that's just the case of like trying to throw with like the elderly population, trying to throw duct tape on the problem as much as possible, just trying to get them to the end of life.
Yeah. It might just be that like old school perspective, like you said,
duct tape up the problem.
Yeah. And it's, I don't want to say it's never that, because it sometimes is, but again, like the physical therapists I worked with would never treat the hip without treating the low back of the knee. They would never treat the low back without treating like the hips and maybe the thoracic. I mean, like it, you know, it just, we're way more integrated than that.
Yeah. I think when we're so, and this is like, I'm dead serious. Like we were talking a little bit before, but like one of the things that I want to do for 2016 with the show is like really just have super open-ended conversations, because I think that's where the best information comes out of. But I got my thought again. Okay. So I think, you know, even as us as like people, like we kind of forget that, you know, there's 350 some odd million people in the United States and there's 7 billion people in the world. And we kind of get confused why isn't everyone doing it the right way? Why aren't they doing it the way that, you know, I think things should be done? It's just there's so much room for different mindsets and different kind of ideas and for people to interpret those in different ways and then implement them in different ways.
Yeah. And it is, oh man. So you get into a conversation with anything about anything with a bunch of trainers or trainers and physical therapists or strength coaches or, and like the first thing that tends to throw everyone off is just that like, we're all working with different populations and it's so easy to get caught up in like, here's what works with my population. And I can go to my friend Georgie or my friend Steve-O, who I feel like do the exact same thing that I do in terms of nutrition habits, and they do it differently because their population, like the clients that show up for them, are a little different than the clients that show up for me, because we've got like different self-expressions. And I feel like that gets in the middle of every single discussion. And then also another thing, like I feel like so many times even you're talking, like two people are talking about the same concept, but they have different applications because they've got different backgrounds, and the way they apply it's so different that it's almost like a different conversation. And I feel like most of the arguments that I see on Facebook about fitness, it's like people are actually arguing about different things and they think they're arguing about the same thing.
Yeah. This is all coming together because I've been reading so many books right now. Like I've been reading Obstacle is the Way, and I just finished I finished two other books. Spencer Nadolsky's Nutrition.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
So this is going to sound super weird to people because I interviewed him yesterday, but you're not going to hear his interview for a little bit. but the
– Spencer's amazing.
He is – I never met him before, and it actually was kind of like our introduction for the show, and also it was very open-ended kind of stuff like this. But you know, one of the things that I'm kind of looking at and sympathizing with is with the people that, you know, we want to try to help, is that, you know, we have to really make sure that we're not getting down on them for being confused about what's going on, because there's just so many professionals trying to show so many different routes to get to the same destination. Like there's different methodologies, and there's the hard stance people that are saying, all right, you know, you got to make sure you got to count calories. You got to make sure you set, you know, weekly goals, you know, monthly goals, 45-day goals. And you also got to set up rules to make sure, like, you have to set rules and make sure you don't break them. You got to have accountability, and you got to be, like, hard on yourself. And now there's, like, this also, you know, other side. It's like, all right, maybe we need to look at this a different way and think, all right, that's clearly not working for everyone. It works for some people, but, you know, maybe we need to also look at the fact that some people are just going to need to, like, look at like what Jesse Nealon's doing. Like,
yeah, Jesse's amazing.
Totally. And maybe it's just like, all right, maybe you just need to accept your body right now and not stress out about how it looks today. And maybe that would actually be the trigger to help you stick to something and improve on that along the way as well. But
well, so that's not an opinion. that we already know that. Like, we've got enough research to know that that works better than the other. There's a great paper through ACSM. I forget, I'm blanking on her name, but she's a really prominent researcher on weight bias. Mm-hmm. And she wrote a primer for the fitness industry, which is so sad that it's gotten completely overlooked. But she outlines all of the research on how the more we stigmatize weight and the more we self-hate, then it decreases the amount of times we see a doctor, the amount of times we'll study about fitness, it decreases the amount of times we'll see a trainer, it decreases how often we'll work out, it decreases how often we'll eat good food, shop, cook. It decreases every single activity that would make a difference for weight loss. And so it's not like we need to I hate getting in arguments about this on Facebook because we all I don't want to say we already know. That's like that. I mean, research doesn't do that, but we've got a lot of research and the evidence would indicate that, that stigmatizing weight and feeling bad about your body correlates with a decrease in every activity that we would consider like healthy and fit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to, I guess I still need to read up more on how we get there, because like even like I know with myself, like, you know, it would be super great to be 6% body fat. Like, you know, some people Josh and I already kind of had this conversation, but you know, I think one of the interesting conversations that's going on in the industry is like, you know, you got to make sure that you look the role, you got to look the part to be able to help other people. And even as far as to say the same person, and you know, like Brian Cron, he's a very smart dude. He's you know, I've even talked about having him on the show. And you know, he was talking about, I think today he said something on Twitter or something like that, that, you know, I'm going to pull it up real quick because I don't want to misquote him. Okay. So I have it right here. Boom. Got it. And this is just, you know, for conversation, you know, this is a quote, fitness pros who complain that they feel pressure to stay in shape. You're in the wrong field. Do something else.
Man.
And that's that. I think that quote, I think that's a really shitty comment. Because there's so many people that maybe don't feel like they're necessarily where they are, that where they want to be, like physique wise today in the industry, but still have incredible potential to reach so many people and to relate with so many people that they could help. That sounds like a very, not like a deaf comment, but it sounds like, you know, just like a terrible stance.
It's so bro. It's so like 1995 bro. Like if you go back far enough, then the trainers were the people that looked the most ripped in the gym, and they were training a population that
was
most
gym, man. It's global gym from dodgeball.
Exactly. Look at who our clients are mostly. Like, is Mrs. Jones the you know, 40 pounds overweight, like has never worked out, is scared to come to the gym for the first time ever because she's not in good enough shape. Is she really looking for the most ripped dude to train her?
Right. And pause for 1 second, just take a step back, because there's literally, I've seen so many stories and I've met so many people who are literally asking me how to get in shape to then start being able to go to the gym. Like, how do I get in good enough shape so I feel okay to sign up for a membership somewhere else? I've had so many people ask me that on the podcast or on like Twitter. I have like friends and family ask me that. And that's just like, we should not be there. Like, that's terrible.
So when I worked at 24 Hour Fitness, they actually surveyed a bunch of their members, because it's like, I forget what the statistic is, like 60% of the people that had memberships didn't come in. And so they actually surveyed them. And the number one answer they got back, like overwhelmingly, was that people didn't feel fit enough to go to the gym.
Wow.
Right. Like they bought a membership, and still didn't want to go. Honestly, so you look at like self-determination theory and motivation, like the number one baseline for someone to be motivated to do something is feeling safe. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's one of those things where like, Like if we want to make a difference for people, we need to create safer spaces. And this is why I don't knock curves. I mean, I do, but I don't, I don't knock curves and Planet Fitness and the starter gyms. I knock them in the long term, but not in the short term. I think it's really, really outstandingly cool that we have places where people feel safe to go for their first gym experience.
Hell yeah.
And know they're not going to be stigmatized and know they can do it. I just think those places should like kick people out after a year mm-hmm. or 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great business model.
No, but like,
I know you're not serious, but I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's still physical activity, I guess.
Yeah, it is. That brings up the better than nothing.
Well, I think like stuff like that a lot of times for people is a gateway. It's a gateway to meet other people that may is like, oh, you might meet someone at like Curves or something that also might do like a group exercise class where there's some free weight training and stuff like that. So you might go with them to that and then you might get experience with, oh man, free weight training, I really like this. And then you might get into like something that is more of a structured, you know, program or something like that. So it's the gateway drug of the fitness industry.
Which is awesome and totally necessary. And totally, totally, totally necessary. And I've gotten those clients. I've gotten those clients that started at Curves and then they went to 24 Hour Fitness and started the Group X classes. And then they hired me because they were doing – this was back when I worked at 24 Hour Fitness, obviously. Mm-hmm. They were doing Group X classes and they wanted to learn how to do the machines because the machines were like the next step that looked like, you know. And so I taught them how to do the machines and then they got really confident with the machines. And I'm like, let's try some bodyweight stuff. And then I was like, let's try some dumbbells. And it's – I think it is so totally wonderful and great to go through a progression like that. I think it's a progression of building confidence. And like they build confidence at one thing and it gives them the confidence to move on to the next step. And that's so important and so powerful and so necessary for every single thing we do fitness wise with someone that isn't already fit. Mm-hmm. Like we get an athlete, that's not an issue. I mean, it may be like if someone's like a doing BMX tricks and they do one trick and they're trying to work to that next harder trick. I've heard that can actually be like a thing where like it can get in your head. But for the most part, like, and this is one of those things where like we have these conversations with people and you talk to someone that only trains fitness competitors or they only train athletes and they try and talk to me about behavior change. And I'm like, you're dealing with a clientele that you're like, you're working with them to optimize the thing in the world that they're the best at.
Right.
It's so different.
And those populations, like the outliers too, right? Those are like almost totally. The elite, whether it be in bodybuilding physique or, you know, top tier athletics.
Yeah. I mean, like you're working with a Division I athlete on fitness. It's their best thing that they're at, like usually their best skill in the world. Right. I'm working with Mrs. Jones. Fitness is her worst skill in the world. She could be like the CEO of a company. She could be a mom. She could be a lawyer. She could volunteer. I mean, she could have a million things she's good at, but she's coming to me because fitness is what she isn't good at.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, before, you know, Brian, don't come after us or anything. It's just like, he's well-meaning, and I want to preface that when he says any of this stuff. And like he is part of his Twitter profile, follower of the Bro Code, so he's on board. He kind of knows, you know,
which you know what he's probably speaking to his population.
Yep.
But the reason it pisses me off, here's why it pisses me off, is because I mean, the biggest reason it pisses me off is there's a lot of trainers that are it's a hard thing to go out into the world and say I'm going to make a difference for people.
Hell yeah, like, dude. Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, I know some of the best coaches I know, some of the best personal trainers I know, and I'm so lucky. Like I get to like you, I go to so many seminars. I get to meet so many people that are they're at a seminar. They're taking time out of their life, out of a weekend to go make themselves better, to make other people better. Like no, don't do not be fooled. Like no one is really in this industry to make $1 million a year. The only right. people that are the ones that are not going to make $1 million a year. The people that are at those seminars and at those summits on the weekends, like they're the ones that, you know, they're taking time out of their life. And also, you know, I meet a lot of people that don't look like fitness models, but they're incredibly positive people and they're incredibly influential in terms of helping other people and motivating other people to get to where they want to go. That's number one. That's the most important thing. If you're an asshole and you treat, you know, and again, this is, we got this conversation off of Brian's tweet. I'm not talking about Brian whatsoever. I've never met Brian. I've never even talked to Brian. I haven't really even read his stuff. So, I'm just saying, you know, we're using the stereotypical like bodybuilder guy from the movies that will go in and like think the person that they're training is pathetic, thinking that the person right. is lazy, thinking that the person is unmotivated. And, you know, I am just taking their, you know, $80 this hour and I'm just going to deal with it because I need to pay the bills. Like that's the problem.
Okay. That's not one of those things that drives me up the frickin' wall. The whole thing that like trainers thinking that they're better than our clients is insane. Most of my clients are super wealthy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like
you have to be kind of wealthy to have a personal trainer or to have some kind of, you know, coach.
Yeah, but I'm talking like more than that.
Sure.
I've got all self-made, mm-hmm. like zero to tens of millions, and to most of them, it's pretty simple. Like I talked to him about it because it's interesting because like their perspective is like making money is simple. Like it's not like easy, but they're like, you do this, then you do that, and you just do this and you do that. And they're like, anyone that really wanted to be a millionaire could do that. And it might take 10 years, but you know what I mean? Like it's crazy, right? And so every time I hear these trainers that are like, oh, clients are undisciplined or why can't clients figure it out? Or I'm like, why aren't you a millionaire?
Yeah.
If it's just that simple, why don't you apply it to any other area of your life? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And money is easy because most trainers are not doing well financially, especially the ones that look down on their clients.
Yeah. So not necessarily something that's going to make people want to come back to you.
No.
Because I mean, it's not even just like you saying anything to them. It's a vibe that you put off when you're with people.
Oh, totally.
And like, that's something I had to learn. I learned really early on is also just like that whole, I think this is kind of like, it's not like, I think Todd Durkin probably said this, you know, first time to me, but you know, no matter like what is going on in your life, you got to make sure that you leave that outside the door and that you deliver the absolute best possible experience that you can deliver for that person, for that group, for that, you know, that population that you're working with that day. And I'm telling you, ever since like I've done that, and sometimes I need to, you know, check myself and I have to make sure, all right, you know, damn, this has been a terrible week, but God, I'm going to make sure that for these kids this afternoon, like this is going to be a blast for them. I'm going to, you know, joke around. We're going to have some fun. We're going to make sure we lift, we get a little bit better. But I want them to look forward to coming up to me at the end and like some kids shake my hand, like some of the guys shake my hand, you know, or you get fist bumps and stuff like that. Like that is, that's why we do this, man.
That's why we do this.
That's what I mean. We get paid an hourly wage to coach. I rarely punch in because I just don't care. Like I don't think of it as like, oh man, this is my chance to make, you know, $30. No, it's like my chance to, I'm going to go have a blast for an hour and a half with these guys.
Yeah, the crack cocaine of our job is like when something clicks for someone that's never clicked before.
Dude, yeah.
Or when they, right?
It's like, all right, we got it. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. We're there.
And then I would also say, this is something that I got from a coaching program I did a while back, but it like you're talking about, like there's a lot of times where I have to take what's going on outside of the gym and put it aside when I go in the gym and go make a difference for people. And I used to think of that as a hard thing to do. Now I kind of think of it as a privilege. Mm-hmm. Like I always feel better after I set aside my crap and go be about someone else for a little while. Mm-hmm. than when I just wallow in like it being about me.
Yeah.
And you know,
I'm getting incredibly confused because maybe you said this, maybe this is from, I've been on this like Audible book reading binge thing right now where I've just been like trying to make sure I'm optimizing my time as much as possible. It's good to get a reminder to do that sometimes.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally doing like when you go and present to people, when I'm doing certifications, like you don't even think about yourself for the next 10 hours. You just think about like, you know, how are these people going to feel? How are they going to be after they get this information? How are they, you know, how are they going to, you know, evolve over the course of this next like 10, you know, 12 hours or something like that?
Yeah. It's amazing, right? It's actually, to me, putting on a workshop isn't that different from going rock climbing.
Okay.
Like it's that same thing where like, I've got to be right there in it. So present to make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Brazilian Jiu Jitsu. It's like anything where you've got to be like right there in like, so, just that present, you know, like that same thing, like I've got to be present enough to not fall off the rock mm-hmm. to, I've got to be so present. Like I've got to be so like over there in the world of the participants that I can feel when I'm not making sense. I can feel when they're getting it. I can feel, you know, like there's just something so alive about having to be that on and so over there.
Okay. This is reminding me of two things that I need to make sure I mentioned. First, I might've pre-recorded something before you guys hear this, but, I need to make sure I mention this. So like the 10-year anniversary for the Fake Ass is coming up in April, and I have the ball rolling on an event in Boston that it's locked. Jonathan Fast and Lee Peel are absolutely locked in to be there.
Nice.
There's going to be a special appearance by someone Josh and I know very well. There's going to be some of my friends, Jason and Lauren, who are gym owners in the Boston area. They're going to be presenting about building community at their gym. And it's going to be like a one-day thing on a Saturday where it'll be, you know, like 4 or 5 hours of like seminar type stuff. And then at the end, we're going to do like a live recording of an episode in front of a live audience of whoever shows up. And
that's amazing.
It is. And I'm trying, my big logistical hurdle right now is I want every penny of this to go to the Boston Children's Hospital. So I'm trying to figure out how to do like registration stuff. I'm like, all right, well, just go to the Boston Children's Hospital, you know, donate $50 online on their website and forward me your, you know, receipt or whatever they give you. And that's going to be how you get your spot because I need
that's
to
your ticket.
That's your ticket because I need to know like how many chairs do I need to rent? Like, since I'm paying out of my pocket to rent these chairs, I want to make sure I don't need to, you know, get more chairs than I really need. And just in terms of how we're going to do this logistically and how when we cap it off and all that stuff. So, keep an eye out for that. If you're like a real big fan of the show, especially of like, you know, John and Lee, that is something that I'm trying to get done. And it's going to be either the first or second Saturday in May is when we're going to do that, just because it works a lot better for schedules, because I'll be in Japan at the end of April anyways, and be a little bit tough to do it then.
That sounds amazing.
It does. I'm like,
that sounds really cool.
And I was like, we talk about the internet is a terrible wasteland. It's a terrible, terrible place. But sometimes like you just post on Facebook like, hey, yeah, like the 10-year anniversary is coming up. I'm thinking about doing this. Like, what do you guys think? And then within 5 hours, I have all the guests lined up and I have, you know, the two dates that I'm looking at. And now within the next week, I'm going to be able to lock it in and see who we're going to like get together for this event. So that like it came together so fast, and I got like emails from Lee and from John and messages from, you know, people saying like, all right, I want to make sure like I'm a part of this. So it was one of those like, man, I'm like crying in front of my laptop because I just can't believe like how many people care about this stuff. So
that's awesome. But that, I mean, you know, so that does show the other side, like how cool we can like in a way how easily something like Facebook connects our global community.
Yeah.
And also like how much the FitCast matters to people and how much the fact that you have great people on and like you're perspective and who you allow people to be on. I mean, like, you make a difference. You know, you make this huge difference for our fitness world. Yeah. You know?
And it's a beautiful selfish thing that I started 10 years ago that turned out working out really well for people when I just wanted to talk to some awesome people in the industry. It worked out way better than it probably could have or should have.
So that's another thing. I love it when people do things that make a difference selfishly.
Oh, like I was totally just like, all right, well, I'm going to talk to John Berardi. So
right.
I probably should start. Like if I make it an interview, maybe he'll actually say yes.
Right.
And the funny, there's like this whole full circle thing is Craig Ballantyne. I'm actually going to be interviewing him tomorrow. Nice. And he was I think you and I were talking about this last time when we were like talking on Skype, but he was the very first guest on the show.
Yeah.
So that will be cool to.
That's amazing.
Talk to him. Like now he's gone on to do incredible things from turbulence training to now running the Early to Rise company and stuff. So.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I am going to be – and I hopefully this is going to come together. This is the great thing about working with lots of awesome people and having great people that come to Mike Bull Strength and Conditioning. But Don Bravo is like an opera singer. Like he is a singer.
Yeah. But
in his previous life, he was part of World Wrestling Federation.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I'm like a huge wrestling nerd.
Yeah.
And I showed up to work yesterday and he goes, well, you know, what'd you think of the Royal Rumble and stuff? And we're talking about that. And he's like, well, you know, just like if, like, he's been like testing me through Facebook Messenger. Like he'll like ask me questions like, what's this move? Like, what is all this stuff? And I'm like getting enough questions right where he's like, all right, well, if you want, like, I know a place down in Providence, Rhode Island that is like a training center. And if you want, like, I can take you down there and you can just kind of learn how to wrestle for a day. Like, yes, yes, that's and yes. Amazing. So I'm going to learn how to take a bump. I'm gonna learn how to go on the ropes and mess around doing some wrestling stuff.
That is so rad. That'll be so much fun.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever watched this stuff, Josh, but Diamond Dallas Page, nope. You may know him from DDP Yoga.
Yeah.
He like started his wrestling career at like 38, and I'm only 30. So
you've got to start now.
I'm going to start now. I'm going to be driving down to Providence, Rhode Island on the weekends, learning how to take a bump, and hopefully I don't, I don't want to get called up though. That's a grueling life.
actually, you know what? I had a friend that was a trainer again back at 24 Hour Fitness. That he was a trainer full time and ran a wrestling promotion on the side.
Perfect.
Yeah, and he loved it. And he just did it for fun, and he'd get. I mean, it was amazing. It was kind of amazing. I would go see his shows because they were so much fun. They were so much fun.
It's as close as we as humans can really get to being superheroes without playing one in a movie or TV.
Right. Totally.
Like to get people behind you, or to be a villain, to be someone that everyone absolutely hates, and you can just piss off people like by just saying three words or like, you know, making a gesture. You can have
smell what the rock is cooking.
Exactly. Like talk about charisma. Talk about, you know, that guy not even trying motivates, you know, millions of people a day through Instagram or Twitter to like go and train and get in better shape.
I love his Instagram feed. Yeah. I love it, man.
Clanging and banging at 4:45 a.m.
Totally.
Getting ready to go train. But
and him, like, okay, talk about, like, he comes off as so humble.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, and he does and he doesn't. But, I mean, for the most part, you get, like he's a really good dude. And he's kind of like the opposite of – for being as bro as he is, he's, like, not that, like – asshole, like you're a bad person because you don't have 4% body fat.
Yeah, well, and he's not, you know, like wrestling has a lot of connections with racism and sexism and just like being stuck in the 1960s because it is kind of – it's still a carny promotion. Like it is – that's right. Where it stems from. And like you'll still see things like last week – on Raw, and unfortunately this was The Rock that was doing this. Was making jokes about sleeping, you know, and getting sexual favors from one of the female, like they call them escorts, that like walk out with a guy out to the wrestling ring, but she does wrestle. And I'm like, right. Oh man, guys, it's 2016. Are you really still making those jokes?
Right. And so, you're like, maybe, yeah.
Hey guys, look at how this shows. We've gone all over the place. This is what I'm talking about. Like, I almost wanted to start a whole nother podcast just so I could not have to have structure. Like, I think that's
not have to keep bringing it back to fitness somehow.
Oh, I'm gonna bring it back. Like, we're gonna pull it back around. So, what are your five favorite Galtons? So with some of the stuff that I was talking with Spencer about, I mean, one of the big things in his book as well was about, you know, trying to ingrain new habits and trying to like undo those bad habits. And that's something that's obviously a big part of what you were talking about in Fat Loss Happens on Monday. But like, what do you say to the people that continue to fail? You know what I mean? That continue to, you know, try to change this habit, but they can't. They try to change, you know, another habit, but, you know, they constantly fail. Is it just as simple as like saying, all right, well, maybe that's too big of a change. Like, how do we make it smaller? Or is there any way to attack it like a different angle?
So there's three things that we typically look at. I just made that up. I'm like, what are the things? Okay, there's three. So the first one is too big or too many habits, like you just said, and that I talked about in the book a lot, where people have a natural tendency to take on too much. They overestimate their ability and underestimate how new and how hard a new habit's going to be. And so we call it Goldilocksing now, where we make sure the habit's just right, you know, not too big, not too small. I've seen a lot of the trainers that I've talked to that have been following my book have fallen into the trap of making habits too small for their clients. They're like, my trainer got bored, or my client got bored. It just has to be an appropriate challenge. And I like to have clients work on a habit for 2 weeks now, so that the first week they can kind of feel it out. And the second week, usually they can ramp it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But usually they're failing because they're taking on too much. And again, if it's a new habit, more than one new habit at a time is destined for failure. And then Goldilocksing it, we Goldilocks it by scale or by frequency. Mm-hmm. So scale would be like how hard that habit is. And then frequency would be how often. And so, someone could do dinners this week, or they could do three meals this week instead of trying to do every single meal in a week. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. The second thing is they're not being strategic about it. So you take a habit like eating slower. If you just try and white knuckle eating a 20-minute meal, if you're used to wolfing down your meals in 3 minutes, it doesn't work. You need to have some sort of like a strategy, like I'm going to put my fork down between bites, or I'm going to take a sip of water between bites, or I'm not going to put food in my mouth or while I'm still chewing the last bite, or I'm going to use a bite timer app, or I'm going to, you know, like something else, you know. And also inside of that is structure. Like sometimes people need a structure outside of themselves, like a habit trigger, like I'm going to do this habit before I do something, or after I do something, or during I do something that I already do. So like, I'm going to do that right after work, or I'm going to do that right after I go shopping, or right before, you know, like that. So a trigger can make a big difference also. And I'm kind of jamming through those because I talk about them all the time. But they're super important. So I can swing back around if you want me to dig into those a little bit more. But the third we almost never talk about. And the third is how big a difference other people make. And a lot of times if we're struggling with something, then we just need to either be part of a group that's doing the same thing, or we need a coach. But there's something about humans where it's way easier to make big changes if we're doing it with other people. And so that works for everything. You know, I mean, like a lot of people have an easier time working out if they're working out with other people. I've got clients that do like food prep with their friends, or they do food swaps with their friends. A lot of times we just need that we need someone else involved. We need someone else to, it's not just accountability. It's like a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. It's on one hand, it holds us accountable. On the other hand, like it normalizes our experience. Like if we're in a group where everyone's working on the same habit and you're like, oh, there's a lot of other people that are struggling with this too. It kind of chills out the whole thing where we look at Instagram and think that everyone already has this figured out and we're an idiot for not like automatically doing it well. Mm-hmm. And so it has a combination of effect of like making us not feel bad about it being hard, which actually makes it easier to work on it harder.
So should we not be like, if people are trying to, you know, for lack of a better term, get leaner, you know, lose body fat, should they not be following those people like that are part of InstaFit, like the people that are women with 8-packs that are like
Jen Selter?
Yeah. Well, people keep saying that. I actually don't know who that is.
She's
really famous on Instagram, obviously.
Quote unquote trainer. And a lot of people are following her fitness advice because she's got a big butt and it looks good.
Okay, well,
That's it.
Is that really hard these days to get like a really in shape butt for women? Like, I mean, Brett Contreras has literally done studies. Like he's done the research, he's done the dirty work, like the hard. God, that EMG. Poor man.
So this comes back around to our whole thing of like, should a trainer – who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow Jen Selter because she looks the part, or are you going to follow Brett Contreras who's devoted his life
– To glutes,
to EMG studies of glute activation and movement patterns and force curves, like –
We wouldn't be putting bars on our pelvises if it weren't for Brett Contreras.
Yeah, that is he literally invented a move that's part of. I mean, like it's part of our at least our fitness community. Right. It's a thing.
I see it like, you know, it's obviously influenced a lot of other people in terms of like Ben Bruno, who's, you know, another guy that's a guy that's worth following on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook, because he's a guy that comes from an incredible background of, you know, interning at Mike Bowles Strength and Conditioning. He did some stuff at like Crescent Performance, and now he's working with, you know, some of the biggest athletes and movie stars in the world, but he's getting them in crazy shape by doing like good programming, like amazing programming, and not just like doing the infomercial crap. Like he knows what he's doing, and he's done like made an incredible name for himself and does an amazing job with the people that he's working with. So that's though, like the Ben Brunos, those are the people that we should be really trying to elevate in this industry if we want to have people like things get shared and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, all right. We got like a couple more minutes. Okay. So, man, let's see. Where can we go for the last couple minutes? What's your favorite Jeff Goldblum movie? What's your best, your favorite Jeff Goldblum in a Jeff Goldblum movie?
So my... I'm going to take it a step out of there. There used to be a commercial on K-Rock where aliens were attacking the world, and they had a clip of like a fake Jeff Goldblum going, maybe if we sing to them, and they'd be like, shut up, Goldblum. And that was my favorite Goldblum in a like parody of Independence Day.
He's coming back. You saw that, right? They're doing Independence Day 2.
Yeah, they are.
ID 4-2.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Will Smith. Will Smith wanted to get paid, so they killed him.
Did he want to get paid? I heard that
maybe he just wanted nothing to do with it. I don't know. He's kind of weird these days.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah. So in Independence Day, I liked Independence Day.
I love that movie.
Oh, wasn't he in
Jurassic Park?
He was in Jurassic Park, but I'm trying to think like older, more obscure. Obviously, there's The Fly. Earth Girls Are Easy?
Yeah, there you go.
What about Earth Girls Are Easy? Like that?
I've never seen that.
It's just so like 80s riffic. It's like you need to see it just for the just for the way people like at the time it was a parody of like 80s Valley.
And that's with Jim Carrey, right? Is Jim Carrey there too?
Let me see.
Maybe that's. I'm also thinking of maybe it's Transylvania 65,000, which also I've not seen, but somehow I know Jeff Goldblum's in that.
See. Okay, wait. It was. I'm gonna feel like an idiot if he's not in it at all. It is. Yeah.
Like a real
Gina Davis, Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans.
Yeah, I've just worthless knowledge in my head, trying to fill it with more important stuff.
That's amazing. Yeah. So yeah, if you're in the movie for like I don't know what was it 1985, like where aliens land in Gina Davis's swimming pool, like that's a
good, that sounds about right.
I haven't seen it in at least 25 years, but I think I really liked it at the time.
I think the new one will probably be good enough. That Roland Emmerich is obviously really good at making action movies and movies where things explode and, you know, die. But
that's always a good thing.
I'm just bummed. Like he's going to reboot Stargate, which is totally okay because I'm on the side of the people that I don't understand. People like they're making a new Ghostbusters. They're going to ruin Ghostbusters. They're making a new, this movie. They're going to ruin. No, the movies are there. They're on Blu-ray. They're on digital. They're on 18 different formats. You can watch it on your
friggin'
watch.
They still exist.
Yeah, you can watch this stuff anywhere. It's not going to touch those movies. Those are the people, like, if you know someone that, like, says stuff like that, that's, like, a negative person you should avoid because they are trying to make negative stuff up to be negative. I swear to God, like, that's a really good barometer.
Totally, right? Like, you're like, don't – shake your fist at it. But I mean, like with the new Star Wars movie coming out, there were a lot of like hardcore Star Wars nerds that were really bummed that all of the books and comics were non-canon.
Yeah.
They're like, now they didn't really happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're still there. You can still read them.
Oh man.
You can totally still read them.
Yeah. It's just, you know, breaking news. People are sometimes illogical. God. All right. Well, I think we're kind of running out of time, and I feel like we did a really good job with this.
Yeah, I do too.
I feel really good about this one. So, you know, a couple things again before we wrap up. That if people haven't already, you should get your butt on Amazon.com. And this is a thing where I do not get a single penny for this book purchase. But actually, if you go to thefitcast.com/Amazon, which
then you will.
Yeah, you should. Like if you go to thefitcast.com, what is it? I think it's thefitcast.com slash. Yeah. thefitcast.com/Amazon, or just go to thefitcast.com on the upper right hand corner. There's a tab that says Amazon Fitcast page. Then I will get like 3%. Of the proceeds. If you want to support the show,
cash in, dude.
Yeah, I'm oh my God, like last year I probably sold so much stuff. I think I made like $300 last year off of Amazon stuff, but that's not even before taxes. But you can get Fat Loss Happens on Monday, habit-based diet and workout hacks from Josh Hillis, and of course workouts by the wonderful Dan John. For $22 for the hard copy version, and you can get the Kindle version for $9.99. Actually, let me take that back. You want to go to ontargetpublishing.com. OTPbooks.com is where you want to go because what's the address? OTP.
I was afraid to say it.
I'm looking
I was
at
like,
the back of your book. Yeah. Oh, it's OTP Books.
This is .com.
Okay.
.com.
Right. So we can go to otpbooks.com and you can get the book there for $24.95 with free shipping. And it's going to get you like super fast. It's going to be just as fast as getting it through Amazon because Larry gets those things out the door. And, you know, instead of supporting the show, I want you to support the amazing work that Larry does. With On Target Publications, just because that is it is like if you just only got your educational resources from one place, like this would be it, because you have the likes of, you know, obviously, you know, Josh, Dan John, Mike Boyle, Gray Cook, Dave Draper, of course. Oh my God. Like
right.
Dave Draper stuff's on there. This is obviously amazing. God, actually, I'm going to order
Doc stuff. Chang, yes. Sue Falsone.
Yes. And on demand stuff too. If you want to just like not wait for the DVDs, you can just kind of like watch this stuff online. But yeah, got Nick Winkelman.
Right. Yeah.
Just so much great stuff, on there. Charlie Weingroff, just, it's a gross, disgusting, Brett Jones, amazing lineup of people on there. So
Tom Plummer.
Yeah. If you want to get some business stuff in there too, it's good to, you know, not just knowing what you need to know, but also knowing how to, you know, reach the people that you need to reach. That's definitely a Tom Plummer thing. So yeah, head over to otpbooks.com. You can pick up Fat Loss Happens on Monday, as well as all those other great books, and get the quadrilogy of Dan John books, like before you go, after you go. If I'm thinking about going, get all those books. go check them out. Intervention as well, obviously, is a good book to pick up. Well, Josh, man,
this is great.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. And this is awesome. This is again, you're helping usher in a new kind of. And this is funny, like going into like, oh man, it's like 10 years. Like I was emailing back and forth and messaging with people and like, oh my God, like if you kind of look at it, there's been like 4 hours of the show or 5 hours of the show where I've had like a different group of guests on, like doing just like now it's mostly just interviews. But this is a new era as I go into year 10 where it's just going to be a little bit more free form, you know, a little bit all over the place, trying to get one more layer deeper into the conversation and, you know, just trying to be like I want to have it be like outside of the, not necessarily like in the conference room at the seminar, but like the guys that are hanging outside right. that and talking.
Yeah.
That's what I want this to be, you know, for the time being, because that's like what I've had. The lectures are great.
That's always the best part.
It's always the best part because you also like get, you know, the conversations that, you know, people aren't going to say up on stage in front of 300 people.
Right.
But, you know, they might say it to one person, then it gets downloaded by 20,000 people. So
right.
It's a different atmosphere. Josh, any other things that you have coming up that people should, you know, keep an eye out for?
Strength Matters San Diego. Me and Georgie Fear, registered dietitian that I work with, we both coach trainers. We're doing half of the bonus day. So we're doing 4 hours on a plug and play habit coaching system that you can drop into your gym.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm okay. So psyched.
When's that?
let me see.
The ballpark.
March.
Okay.
So March in San Diego, Strength Matters. And then also I've got kind of like a Fat Loss Happens on Monday version 1.5 coming out in a way.
Awesome.
I recorded 2.5 hours of audio with everything I've learned and updated the system in the last 2 years.
I like what Lori did with Dan.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. She called me up. She's like, hey, can we, you know, that thing we did with Dan, can we? So, yeah.
Perfect. Oh, God, yeah. That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's some good stuff coming up, and people can keep an eye out for all that. You can, you know, it's pretty easy to find Josh on Facebook and stuff like that. And, like, what's the main homepage for you these days in terms of website? Just
loosestubbornfat.com. Is still the hub of everything. And then if people want to interact with me, we've got two Facebook groups. We've got a Fat Loss Happens on Monday Facebook group. And then we've got Habit Coaching Professionals Facebook group. And that Habit Coaching Professionals, me, Georgie, and Steve-O. And we talk about like what it looks like to use my book and Georgie's book, coaching your clients.
Awesome. And you talked to, I'm blanking. I'm kind of like screwing around on your website right now. But you're on, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Kosiaba. Is it John?
Oh yeah. Kosiaba Fitness. Yeah. That was, yeah.
He is an amazing dude.
Yeah, that was a super fun. That was a super fun interview.
I have to listen to that.
Yeah, it was. He's really cool. He's really cool. And I had no idea who he was up until that point. And I was like, oh man.
Well, let me you know, just because he's such a good dude, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a plug right now. Go to kosiaba-fitness.com. It's kosiaba-fitness.com. And he's had like a bunch of people that I've had on the show. And I know he talked to like George Dow and a lot of, and actually I was on the show too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good stuff on there. And he's, oh God, he's already up to 37 of them. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Sue Falsone, he's had Kelly Starrett. And the last one was George Dow, effective goal setting. God, good lineup.
And he's like a former bodybuilder, currently the only blind certified kettlebell instructor in the world.
Right.
And yeah. And
that's how we met amazing. Because he was going to be coming and doing a he wanted to do like certified functional strength coach thing. So that's how we kind of like got in contact and we started talking a little bit about like the requirements for that stuff. So
yeah.
God, a guy's a badass.
Totally. Totally. Badass. Super smart.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you guys go because I'm like late to get to work. So I'm going to try to.
Oh, dude, I'll let you go.
but you know, again, if you have any other stuff, you know, you can always send them on Facebook or Twitter. I'm at Kevin Larrabee. Josh is at Josh Hillis and at Fitcast on Twitter as well. And what do I have to say? Yeah, the show's on iTunes. So if you want to go on iTunes, you can subscribe on there. If you enjoy it, I'd appreciate a review. It helps keeps the show closer to the top of the list. So when people go to find new fitness podcasts, they look at this one instead of Jillian Michaels's. And I'm sorry, it's Bill. God, why did I say John? I don't know why I said John, but it's sorry. It's Bill Kosiaba. God, yeah. Sorry, Bill, if you're listening. A little bit of a brain fart when you've had too much caffeine in a day. But yeah, that's going to do it. And again, I appreciate all the Patreon supporters out there. It means a lot. And hopefully some of you guys are getting interested in possibly coming out to Boston on the first or second Saturday in March to come hang out with Lee, John, myself, some special guests. And also Raj Law is going to be there for sure. Yes. So it's going to be just a really great group of great people to just hang out, chat about some stuff, and hopefully get better, and then go out and have some drinks and get some good food. So awesome. You can't lose.
Can't lose.
It's Parker Lewis, man. Parker Lewis cannot lose. Neither can you if you come to this event.
Favorite show from back in the day.
Hey, he was on – the guy who did was Parker Lewis. Fun fact, finish with this. Off topic, bonus off topic. And actually, there's an off topic after this. We already recorded it. But he was did a season of Stargate SG-1. So
really?
Yeah, he was on season 6. If you want.
Did he ever synchronize watches?
That's a good question. They might have done a callback or something like that, but he's a handsome dude. I'm surprised he's not acting a little bit more, but
right.
All right, guys. Well, all right. We gotta go, so take care. Yeah, have a great week.
Man.
See ya.
Thanks.